This time we're going to be do awards and presentations. First item is the Community Extra Mile Award. And that goes to Mr. Jim Wilson. Here, please. City of Unalaska recognizes Mr. Jim Wilson for the Extra Mile Award. The Extra Mile Award is presented to citizens within the community who have gone the extra mile to assist with city function, event, or specific incident. Jim Wilson is an individual deserving of this distinction. Mr. Wilson has gone the extra mile for the Unalaska School District since the unexpected resignation of the school superintendent in the middle of the 2022 full semester. Wilson volunteered to step in and on an interim basis and also serves as the district superintendent of schools through the end of 2022-2023 school year. Doing so, Mr. Wilson provided the district with stability, consistent and steady leadership during what could have been a very chaotic period. While a gap in the district's educational leader can be difficult for staff and teachers, it is the students who suffer in the end. Mr. Wilson, as he has always done, puts the needs of the students and staff above his own. Wilson is an exceptional educational leader. Unalaska City School District students, teachers, and staff are fortunate to have him as a leader, a friend, and a neighbor. During a very difficult time, Mr. Wilson has gone above and beyond to serve the youth of our community. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, from the City of Unalaska.
Just real quick, say thank you. It's an honor. As I'm retiring, I've lived here for so many years.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson, a well-deserved honor, and appreciate all the work you've done and need to do so. This time, I'll ask the United States Coast Guard to step up and introduce themselves, and they'll be giving an award.
Hey, everyone. I'm Lieutenant Christine Call, if nobody's met me. Ask Mr. Tim Mahoney. So, Good Samaritan Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Tim Mahoney for his assistance in recovering fishing vessel Endurance. Citation: you are commended for your efforts in rendering assistance to the fishing vessel Endurance on August 25th, 2021. After finishing a day of longlining in Beaver Inlet, the fishing vessel Endurance ran aground on Old Man Rocks. After a Coast Guard helicopter rescued the crew and brought them ashore to Unalaska, the vessel was left stranded in the sea. Though you were unsure of the vessel's condition, you quickly offered to assist the master in recovering the vessel. Voluntarily taking the master on board your personal boat, you headed underway to investigate the condition of fishing vessel Endurance. On arrival, you aided the master in evaluating Endurance and safely towed it back to Unalaska. Quick thinking and exemplary response were critical to the successful rescue of the vessel, saving the master significant salvage costs, removing a potential navigation hazard, and mitigating a significant pollution threat to the environment. On behalf of the United States Coast Guard, I commend you for your compassion and willingness to assist those in need. Signed, Leanne M. Lusk, Captain U.S. Coast Guard Commander, Sector Anchorage. Okay, that's from the captain of the fort. And then here's the certificate. And then, is that perfect? Thanks so much.
Congratulations, man. Well deserved.
Good job.
Okay, next presentation, I'll ask Officer Woods and new officer swearing in, Julian Xavier Ovier, to please step up here, please. The assistant city clerk will be reading the swearing in.
If you could stand over here, Officer Gavet. Raise your right hand and follow me. I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer.
I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer.
To abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics.
To abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics.
To support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the State of Alaska.
To defend the Constitution of the United States and the State of Alaska.
And to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the State of Alaska, and the City of Unalaska.
And to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the State of Alaska, and the City of Unalaska.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer the requirement to, at all times, abide by the rules and regulation of the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer the requirement to, at all times, abide by the rules and regulations of the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the City of Unalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and prosperity and property.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the City of Unalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and property.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office, and I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer. So help me God.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office, and I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer, so help me God. Thank you.
And with that, I have his badge. I'm going to issue that to him. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations, officer. Welcome to Unalaska City Police Department. Okay, our next item on our agenda is the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Tungle. Hearing, after the council hears no objection, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Next item 7 is approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, November 22nd, 2022. Motion and second.
Move to adopt the minutes of November 22nd, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Tungle. Without objections, the minutes of November 22nd of 2022 is hereby approved. Our next item is the reports. And I'll ask the for a financial report for October 2022. Who's giving that?
Is Clay not there? I must confess, I'm not prepared to give you a summary of the report that's in front of me right now.
Okay, thank you. So we'll ask that these financial report for October 2022 be moved to the next regular scheduled meeting. Without objection. The minutes, finance report for October 2022, we've moved to the next regular scheduled meeting. And next item is the city manager's report. City manager Laddick.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, the audio tonight is really bad, so I'm only catching a few words with each sentence. But my manager's report is in the pack, and I don't know if anybody has any questions on that report. I did some of it, and Bill did some of it, and he may have something he wants to add about the emergency response that happened during the storm. But as you can see, the trip to Washington, D.C. was timely, and the money that we talked about while we were there, the budget has passed the omnibus bill, so I believe it's $25 million for the dredging project and about $2.5 million for some electric utility upgrades. With that, I'll pass it over to Bill Homka.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I would just like to touch on, well, three things. One, the CMMP note that's in your director's in the manager's report. I'll be giving a little more update about that. We're going to be on a rather condensed schedule for the CMMP. New Year's Eve fireworks, I think it's going to be January 7th. That evening, we had to wait to get our pyrotechnician here with all the delays and flight cancellations. I think the equipment and materials arrive, but we're concerned about when that person's going to be able to arrive. The weather event, first I'd just like to point out that for the incident that occurred and a lot of new people and a lot of people that were filling in for either acting or vacancies, it was an excellent experience up there. We mitigated try and stay away from an emergency. There was a lot of water, rockfall slides. I have to compliment just really everyone that was involved from the roads crew. I mean, there were assessments made that there could be a landfall within the hour and a half. We relocated people, closed roads, and within that hour and a half, we had rock slides. So it is nice to know that people know with institutional memory where some of the points are to be concerned about and to try and mitigate those. The roads department, ports, police, fire, really was a nice effort. And just remember that the EOC is really, just because we open it, it's more of an exercise for us to provide services seamlessly sitting around a table. Doesn't necessarily mean that activating that as an emergency. So we did deploy five teams that went out, and I think we must have 500 or 600 pictures within 1 hour that we were able to just do an assessment of what's happening where. We're still hearing a little bit about some things, maybe out on the spit, and maybe on the beachfront beach road there that we're going to be looking at. But as you see, as the weather event ended, our reactions ended. So not a whole lot of things as a tail, meaning we have to rebuild and do all sorts of things. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but I hope you'll take a minute and really realize what a good effort that your staff and departments did, especially with vacations and the kind of things that we were looking at here. I was quite impressed.
Thank you, City Manager and Bill, for that report. I was out of town. From what I've heard, the community stepped up, the Public Works, Police Department, Medical, EMTs, all hands on deck, and did a great job in keeping our community safe until the weather cooled down. And I want to thank Councilman Vaughn for being part of the EOC and working with them, kept a lot of information flowing to the community. There was a couple of days, or a day or so, where I understand there was problems with communications, but in the end, it turned out that everyone was safe, and appreciate all the hard work that that you guys have done. Any comments from the council on the city manager report? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on. Our next item on our agenda is the community input and announcements. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. There you go.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, Council, Mayor and Council. Roger Blakely, Director of PCR. I want to wish everybody a happy new year as it comes up. And with the new year comes soccer. And there's our youth soccer league is going to start right away. And the deadline for registering those youth is December 31st. So everybody, get your kids registered December 31st. Get them in for a youth soccer league. Also this year, we're bringing back the Little Dribbler Soccer, which will be from January 23rd to January 27th. It's 1 week. It's 3 to 5 year olds. We look forward to having them. And we also need a lot of soccer coaches, referees, all the people that make the soccer league run. We'd like you to consider that in your schedule to help out the kids. With that, I want to thank you for letting us make this happen.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Lynn Crane from USAVE. I just want to remind you that our winter raffle drawing is this Thursday. We still have some tickets to sell because the weather kind of put us behind on our sales. So if anyone would like to buy tickets, please call 907-581-1500. I'd like to give a shout out to Optumera for doing their Christmas for Kids program this year. That's a program that they came up with, and they do all the work where they collect toys and money for us to buy clothing, toys, books, and food for families that need a little extra help. And everything was so expensive this year that when we were doing our ordering, which we always have to do ahead of time so stuff gets here, all we really bought was clothes because everything was just so expensive. But then another good corporate neighbor came through, CMA, their crew came over and brought a bunch of toys over. So it kind of worked out really well. So just want to really thank Optumera and CMA for coming through for the families in our community. And the soup off is Saturday, March 25th, 2023, not 23rd, which is what I said last time, March 25th, 2023. So look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I encourage everyone to buy up all the tickets. Any further comments from the chambers? Is there anyone on the Zoom or phone who wishes to make a comment?
Mayor, Mr. Durnell just joined in. Mr. Kelty wanted to make a comment on financial report, too.
Okay. Who's first?
Mr. Mayor, do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was going to do it on your net, on public comment on the agenda item. If that's okay, I didn't know if you were done with community input or not.
What was the comment?
I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I'll make my comment. It had to do with the financials, and I know you're not taking action on it, but I just had one comment on the raw seafood tax. If you look at your financials, you see we're $524,000 below where we usually are. But I've been working this week on looking at the fish tax revenues to get put together. But I just wanted to make a comment that with the A-season pollock coming in and with an increase in the A-season with the new allocation we got, even though it's only 40% of the total, I think we're going to be we'll make our budget on the raw seafood tax. We should take maybe $1.1 million on pollock and then another couple $100,000 on A-season cod, which the bulk of the cod processing also happens in January, February, March, and April. So I think we're going to be okay. We also have some Tanner crab that's still going to be delivered, and Golden King crab still has at least a couple of million pounds to come in. So I just wanted to point it out that I think we'll make the 3.4 million on the local 2% raw fish tax, possibly even have a small surplus. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your commenting on that, on those issues. Anyone have a question for Mr. Darnell? Councilman Coleman?
I did have a financial question, if we want to go back to that. Let me go back to that. I actually question, so we're a third of the way. This is through the October, so as it were being a third of the way through. I had a question about the utility administration percentages at, we're looking at, you know, 40% for electric, water, and wastewater. If those hold true, we're going to be blowing out our budget pretty good by the end of the fiscal, for the end of that year. So I'm wondering what might be leading to those. I would think they would be normally relatively stable at holding like 30% like everything else is. So I was wondering what might be leading to such higher administrative costs in those departments.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Coleman, I think what we have for the utilities is some of that stuff gets front-loaded, like in terms of permit fees, and a lot of things happen at the first of the fiscal year. I can't give you a really granular idea, but I imagine that's what's happening, is a lot of it we pay, like for our air permit, we pay for our emissions in one big check. So I imagine that's what we're seeing. I can take a closer look and get back to you on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what's happening.
Okay, I just wonder if there's anything unusual going on or experiencing any more, some expenses in that area that we wouldn't normally incur. So, yeah, if it's a, we'll take a look again at the 6-month period and see where we're at, but for sure, understandable, so I appreciate the feedback on that.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby?
Since we're in finance, I do have a question. I'm just curious if this is the updated budget with the updates with the 302 and the budget amendments. I believe last time they were not in there yet. It's still not there yet. So
I don't believe that these, Clay, correct me if I'm wrong, these reports don't reflect that. They are a financial report. I do believe we have obviously an estimate, depending on what you pass tonight, what kind of number that will be.
Comment, please.
Clay?
Yes, this is Clay.
Ms. Luby had a question about the October report, basically wanting to know if the numbers reflected the proposed amendments to Title III. It seems the answer is no, since this is October's report. Can you confirm that, please?
It will only reflect anything that's been presented and approved by the council. So any budget amendments that are proposed would not be included here in the budget column.
Actually, I'm sorry, it was a 302. That was the one I was looking for.
So yes, revise the question.
So yeah. I'm sorry, Clay. What I was wondering is if it has been updated with the budget for the 302. Does this include 302?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions for Clay? Anyone else on the, thank you, Clay. Anyone else on the Zoom or telephone? Or
no, sir.
Public comment?
No one indicated they wanted to comment.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a public hearing. We have two ordinances set for public hearing. I'll convene a public hearing on each item separately. Members of the public may testify about any item set in the public hearing, and there is a 3-minute limit. Please come to the podium and state your name if you have comment. Hearing none and no one. The public hearing is now open for Ordinance 2022-19, amending Title III, personnel to add a longevity bonus, make executives eligible for a longevity bonus, and provide latitude to the city manager to hire above the midpoint of the wage range and to increase moving expenses available for new employees. At this time, the public hearing is now open, 6:30, and is there anyone present who wish to speak to this ordinance? City Clerk, do we have written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. We don't have any written comments, and no one indicated they wanted to speak to this item.
Okay, thank you. This time I'll close the public hearing for Ordinance 2020-19. It's now closed. 2219. The public hearing is now open for Ordinance 2022-20, creating a budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year 2023 budget to fund increases in wages, fringe benefits, and associated State of Alaska PERS contribution for unrepresented employees. Public hearing is now open for 2022-20. At 6:33, does anyone wish to speak? No one wishes to speak at this time. Announce. See, City Clerk, are there written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or telephone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Thank you very much. The public hearing for Ordinance 2022-19 is now closed at 6:34. We're now on to item 12. Next up is a work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session, please?
I make a motion to go into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Robinson. Are there any objections? Hearing no objection from council, we are in a work session at 6:34. First item is FY24 CMMP and budget schedule. Request a motion and a second. on the, oh, I'm sorry, FY24 CMFB. I'll turn it over to Bill.
Thank you, Mayor. This is rather brief compared to years in the past. I just wanted to get with Chris and I, we wanted to basically present where the vision for this year's capital and major maintenance program. Obviously, it's going to be a condensed and shortened version. We normally would present it to you by November, what our schedule will be. But we are really looking to just continue with projects that are already funded or we're committed to and be rather sparse with anything new just because of the uncertainty about funding, what's happening. And just as importantly, what is the capacity, which we've had that discussion here several times. What's the capacity for the city for managing projects? We have quite a heavy load down there of current projects to continue adding projects, especially with staff shortages, acting designations. It's really difficult, even from that point of view. So we're looking just basically to maintain the plan that has already been either provided seed funding for a study that we're already engaged in, or if there's a major project, for example, the dredging project has already been approved, and there's $24 million sitting there from, you know, that congressional award. You know, those types of things make sense to continue moving forward, but new things we're not looking to bring forward to you unless it's some sort of an emergency or direly needed this coming year. You'll see an abbreviated important dates for the CMMP down there at the bottom. Really, we'll be bringing the first actual work session in January, second meeting in January, and present basically what we anticipate to present to you as for your comment for this year's CMMP. And then we will take those comments back, like we always have, throw them around the room about how we can achieve maybe what you guys want to amend, or if there's an issue that we need to work through in order to gain your support for a project. That's what happens between January 24th and then, say, March 28th. And then, as you know, we always have two meetings in April as the budgeting gets pretty heavy. So we have a special meeting on Monday, which would be April 10th, and we'll go through the CMMP, followed up by then on April 11th, a regular council meeting on that Tuesday presenting the school budget and the community support grants. We typically divide it that way, as we already have the community support grant applications out, expecting those to be returned basically by the end of January. So we'll know what we're looking at there. And then we'll have the regular council meeting to go through for resolutions for the community support, CMMP, and school support on the 25th of April. And then again, start our readings the month of May. And I say this is an abbreviated schedule, but it is the end of the year. I apologize for being tardy with this, but it's kind of like other things. We're just trying to get through this year with what we have and who we have to work with. So it's impacting certainly the planning department right now, which is the one that usually drives this. So it's easy to say I'm wearing three hats sometimes. It doesn't mean I'm wearing all three very well, but that's what we're trying to do. So any questions on that?
Councilman Coleman.
And when are we expecting to see first look at a budget?
We have a budget calendar, and I've worked a little bit with finance on that, and I just haven't had an opportunity to go through with Chris and Clay and Kelly Tompkins to just double check and make sure how that dovetails in. Normally we see that as the whole calendar, and just haven't put all that together for you.
Okay.
So I wanted to get this in front of you, but we'll get that to you. Should be pretty much a similar process, just what we've missed so far will be condensed into like the first meeting to make up for it.
Councilman Tunkel.
I forgot to ask earlier, where are we on the library? We never got updated on that.
On the library project?
Yes.
It's moving along pretty well. Roger would be happy to tell you more about it. I think we're looking at a March, kind of a major threshold in March. Is that still handy?
Mayor and Council, Mr. Tungle, the library is moving along very well. We are on project. We'll have substantial completion by probably the 3rd or 4th here, maybe by the 15th of January. Substantial completion will be done. We'll actually start moving stuff back in January, back into the library. We have an opening planned for around March 4th. Would be a reopening of the library. We received $400,000 from a grant from the Rasmussen Foundation, which is in a budget amendment, I believe, that is up before you today, so we can use that money. We have one big project left is the artwork on the outside and also the windscreen. That should come in middle of January. Casework's in, carpet's in, tiles in. The library looks really good. So, we're on schedule and we're moving forward.
So final completion, you think, is what?
Substantial completion probably 15th of January. Final completion will be before March 4th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. CMMP. Roger. And budget schedule.
Council, if any of you'd like a tour of the library to see where you are, I'd be happy to get you over there and do that. So just give me a call. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Any questions on the CMMP or budget schedule? Okay, thanks, Bill. Hearing no other questions, we'll move on to our next item. Without objection, we're back in regular session, 6:42. Yeah, I'm trying to hurry this up here. 6:42. Okay. Next is the consent agenda. Absent a request from the council to move any of these items to a regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. Anyone wish to pull this? Any of these? First item is Resolution 2022-48. Approve the mayor's appointment of Ryan Humphrey to the PCR committee. Next item B, Resolution 2022-52, adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY 2023 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in the FMA to the Aleutian Islands area. Next, item C, Resolution 2022-53, establishing dates for the fiscal year of 2024 real property tax and business personal property tax collection effort.
Make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Luby. Okay, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mayor. Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5-0, these consent agenda has been approved. We are now on the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. Has anyone signed up to speak?
No, sir.
The first item is Ordinance 2022-22, first reading, creating a budget amendment number 4 to fiscal year 2023 budget, increasing the administration budget by $100,000 for the compensation and classification study, increasing the port's budget by $27,000 for a site survey for UMC positions 5 through 7, accepting $400,000 from the Rasmussen Foundation, and increasing the library improvement project by $400,000, appropriating $450,000 from the general fund for public safety record management system, accepting $386,400 from the Denali Commission, and increasing the water fund transfers to the capital projects by $12,246 for matching funds, and increasing the Captain's Bay Road waterline project by $398,646,000, increasing the water fund operating budget for transfers to capital projects and project budgeted for the Pyramid Water Treatment Plant incline microturbines by $105,000. We have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 2022-22 and schedule it for a second reading and public hearing on January 10th, 2023.
Move to introduce Ordinance 2022-22 and schedule for public hearing and second reading on January
10th,
2023. Second. Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to City Manager or Bill.
Please take stab at it. Chris, please speak up if you if I leave anything out. This is it's different watching, being on this side of the dais when you're watching these budget amendments happen and seeing how complicated they are to coordinate and get everyone to help explain it to you clearly. I believe the staff has done so by each section or element that we're trying to amend. If there are specific questions about one of the numbers, we're prepared with staff in the audience to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions, comments? Councilman Coleman?
A couple.
Get ready, guys.
Okay, first off, library. It says in your summary, excess funds will be returned to the general fund when the project is completed. Looking through the requirements of the fund, the grant, it says it's policy of the foundation that unspent funds will be returned in the final report, yes, back to them. So the question being, I am under the impression that the monies through the grant, the $400,000, will be spent in full on various things that have already either been purchased, I guess, or planned to be purchased at this point, and therefore none will be returned to the Rasmussen Foundation.
We are not going to return any to Rasmussen.
Okay.
We are going to spend it all, and that will give us more in the general fund at the end of the project.
Okay, and then kind of the next question, because it talks about, you know, money's being spent on furniture mm-hmm. and art. When the project was delayed for COVID back, I don't know, a couple years ago,
Yeah. There
was some, there was a request from local artists to do some work, and because it was delayed, that I'm wondering what is the status of that. Were there artists that had already put work in motion and then were delayed in being able to present it, or were those canceled altogether? And now that we have these funds, is there any way, you know, that can continue? I'm not sure what the intent.
We bought some of it with those artists that already had put off that effort. We bought some of it. The museum helped us a little bit. The Library Foundation helped us a little bit. The other artists that got delayed, we reached out to them again and said, we have some money, would you like to participate? And I believe that we've got every artist that we had, I think, that was in the beginning before the delay, we've reached out to them and they've either said yes and they submitted artwork, or they've said no, they're not interested.
Good. Okay. I'm glad to see there was some follow-up on that and that make them whole on what, you know, was originally intended, and, you know, due to the circumstances, I understand. But I'm glad to see this come through. Thank you for the efforts and asking for this grant, and that make a library that, you know, a great place it is.
I'm real happy we got the grant. A lot
thank
of
you.
Work. Appreciate
it. Okay. I got more. All right. This is going to be, I have a question on, I'll come back to that one. I have a question about the water, the extension on Captain's Bay. So that we've got some money, which is fantastic, to do the design. And the design, I guess, was originally to go to OS, I have to read the beginning of it, but North Pacific Fuel, and that they wanted it in design to go all the way through to possibly to the end of the road, which actually, so then my question is, it's not really our end of the road. We only go up to OSI. So our design... they get paid for design to go all the way into the head of Captain's Bay. Is that correct with the water?
That is, Councilman McCormick, that is correct. What happened was is we applied for this grant, and we were lucky enough to get the grant, and the grant is for, like, way more. The grant has to be for engineering and design, and it's for way more than we need to engineer and design to North Pacific Fuel. And so we asked him if we could just extend the scope, still engineering design, and use it to go further. Because engineering design is kind of good stuff, and we can put it on the shelf, and we'll have it. Otherwise, we would have just not taken the full advantage of the grant. All they asked from us was a $12,000 match, which we supplied. So I think... the engineering design just to go to North Pacific Fuel, I think, was in the realm of like $225,000. And so that would have been all the grant we could have gotten. So,
okay.
That's why we expanded the scope of the grant.
And so in the future, if anybody from OSI on wants water, they end up paying right through the utilities for those improvements, since it is not part of our road system. That you're going on private property. So in the future, even though that we did the design, the construction costs would be a burden to those landowners.
I believe this falls right in line with what Councilmember Luby is working on and talked about. I mean, those kind of things are going to probably be like, you know, like a lid or something like that, because it's so few property owners and such a large expense.
Okay.
But this grant in particular happened just that way. We didn't think it actually came in. The bid came in kind of low, $225,000. So we just asked if we could just design the whole thing, and with grant money. So that's what we did.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right, last one. You're welcome. So the last one I have is on the records management system. I remember when this came forward a few years ago. And I guess my point is, you know, it's definitely needed. It's been in the work. I'm a little bit, I see that, you know, we got in with a software company. They provide a service, and then, you know, it gets bought up. So I saw that here we're looking at just some legal action possibly to, you know, they didn't follow through with their services that we, you know, had expected. This is just not really a question. It's just a general comment. You know, the Spillman Group apparently was looked at years ago, and due to cost was not taken up. So I think, you know, when you have such high turnover in departments, it's so hard because you lose so much institutional knowledge about how things started, how things progressed, and where they are today, and why didn't we do that money back then, and now we've lost, and we're just starting all over again. It's just a comment for me that I see this now, and it's just so hard when we lose people and staffing that have been around for so long. I hope that we continue a succession program for people in our departments, and that we build people up and continue to do so, and that they can bring that knowledge forward. So I mean, yeah, you know, we have to have this, and I'm glad we've done the work and got back to where we were back in 2017-16, when this should have been implemented the right way, the first way. So anyway, just a comment, not really a question on that one. I'm glad to see it moving forward, and hopefully it'll be a successful, and maybe we can get some of our money back that we initially put into. So I think that's it for that I have for this particular ordinance right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Luby?
So on to the dispatch program there. So I didn't see anything in there that it talks about support. It talked about upgrading software and, you know, maintaining equipment that is a service you're going to pay for every year for around $30,000 to $35,000 a year. But I didn't see anything about just basic support for staff with training, or if they, you know, needed help, maybe something isn't working right. Did you have any discussions about that, or is that included in any of those contracts that I just missed? Because that's a big part of getting support from Motorola or whoever is providing software for you.
I don't know much about this program besides what I've picked up every week in directors' meetings. So I don't think we necessarily have a subject matter expert for this here. I thought when I read the materials as you did, and it was my impression that $30,000 that was basically a software support, an ongoing support. That's the way I interpreted the funding. It's a heartbreaking process to all of us. I mean, it hurts, but and we've asked public safety, and they've assured us that this is a requirement, and so.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a good program. Rotorola is good. And I just have experience dealing with software and these types of databases and stuff, and there's always issues, and staff always needs to make phone calls to 24/7 support. I only saw that in the first year, so and that costs money as well. So it's just something maybe you guys want to follow up with just to make sure that's there.
Yeah, why don't I find out a good answer for you, and I'll have it for you in the next meeting.
Okay, that'd be great. Thanks. And then the other thing is, I'm just curious, is this going to integrate with a national database, or is, a lot of police departments are trying to integrate into national databases so that if something happens in Florida, we'll know about it here in Unalaska, like if you're looking for somebody or something like that. So I'm just curious if this supports that as well.
Okay, thank you. I got Councilman Robinson and Councilman Tungle.
I think the answer to that question is on page 141 of the council packet. It's in the contract. There's 2.2.2, integration services, maintenance, and support services. That's all explained in the maintenance and support of that, and I know the original proposal was to be able to connect to a national database, and I think that's still the intention, and that's I believe was well. I haven't looked at the contract that well, but I do remember that portion because I had the same question on support services. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Councilman Tungo?
I got the same answer. We have a long discussion about the support for some software are being made, and the following year they kind of pull out of it, and the support is not there anymore. And that's a big discussion that we did before we approved this. And I remember that there's a 24/7, and it's in there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Bell?
Let's see. My question was along the lines of there in here the increase in ports budget by $27,000 per site survey. From my understanding, there was some preliminary survey done this last summer, or possibly not.
There was a preliminary survey work done when we were doing the UMC expansion project. And basically that was just to make sure that we didn't have structural issues. We do need to go in and come up with a plan for fill and taking care of the undulations and the drainage piece of that on that concrete surfacing. And so that's what this is about, is to come in and assess that and come up with a plan to fix kind of that undulating piece of 5 through 7 where tractor trailers have been going over those tail walls for years.
Yeah, there are times where it'll bounce you out of your seats going over that stuff. As far as a bigger question to that, and I don't necessarily expect an answer tonight, but what has been done and where are we moving forward on this to generate more revenue on that dock, or to create anchors for more of an anchor for existing tenants or for future tenants?
So we are, we have made the decision to go forward with the RFP process for land leases. We have reached out to the existing long-term tenants that have been there and asked for some very specifics as to what is in their quiver right now, what they need. And we will be sifting that through the legal process and make sure that we take care of existing tenants, and then the remainder of the land leases will be going up. We're not at this point in a position to entertain berthing issues. That has not been an issue. The real issue becomes the land lease piece of that. So,
and is there any kind of time frame associated with all that?
Right now it's in the tenant's hands. So we have done our part and we're waiting to hear back from them.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Dunkel, do you have a question? No. Okay. Anyone else? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll ask one more quick question about the microturbine and the increase budget there of $105,000. And maybe you can expand upon what those monies are for.
Sure. About half of it's for equipment. What we found out is, this is kind of an unlikely scenario, but if the microturbine was offline and one of the pressure reducing valves was offline, we would have a production limit, which would be kind of unacceptable for ACs, and it would be enough for now, but it wouldn't be enough. And so that double failure scenario, we just felt for this amount of money, it would be worth it to increase that. So I think I have a page that shows it's probably going to be around $50,000 for the parts, the goodies to make this all happen. We're going to have a contractor install it because I think it's about a $5,000 piece of equipment, about a 5,000 pound piece of equipment. It's at ground level, so it's not going to be too horrible. There's going to be some skater integration, so there'll be a little bit of that. There's not much in contingency because I think we have pretty firm numbers on everything.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman?
Microturbines. That was brought to the council several years ago, and it was pushed forward because it was going to pay itself back in just a few years. And here's more money on it. So is that happening? Are we seeing a return on?
We have 11-year payback period on it. So it's not, in terms of ROI, like in the investment world, an 11-year payback isn't fantastic, but it's, you know, it's green. With this change here, we can actually make electricity just by discharging it back into the creek. If we have plenty of water, we can just run it through the turbine and make electricity. So it may be shorter than that. But
okay, just making sure that's it's moving forward in that direction. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions on comments on Ordinance 2022-22? First reading. Okay. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. Motion is to approve the budget amendment number 4 to a fiscal year of 2023 budget increase in the administration budget for second reading on January 10th, 2023.
Request a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0, this ordinance 2022-22 is now moved to January 10th for second reading. Next item is ordinance 2022-19, second reading, amending Title III, personnel to add to a longevity bonus, make executive eligible for longevity bonus, provide latitude to the city manager to hire above midpoint of the wage range, and to increase the moving expenses available for new employees.
Make a motion to adopt ordinance 2022-19 as amended by the council on October 25th, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the city manager, please.
Not sure who's going to speak to it, so I'll start. As you can see in the summary, we provide examples on the retention bonus strategy. So you can see there, and we've gone through this a couple times, but I don't want to dismiss it preemptively, but if there are still questions about how the retention structure would work, we're open to those questions. And let me see, obviously some discussion about hiring above the midpoint. One, feel it's important and necessary in negotiations to be able to do that with human resources and attracting people to the island. And of course, part of that also involves moving expenses for new employees. So a lot of information out there. City Manager Laddick even forwarded me something. I think it's Alaska specific on what's going on with the size of retention and or attraction sign-on bonuses. It's getting pretty competitive out there and pretty amazing. I mean, what other communities are doing. So we continue to look at those and what other communities are doing and how we stack up based on where we are.
Okay, thank you, Bill. At this time, I'll ask the council for discussion. Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion or a move to amend Ordinance 2022-19 to add explanatory examples at the end of paragraph A for the executive employee longevity bonus, and to add an S to the word paragraph. And add words and B in paragraph D so that it includes both executive and non-executive employees.
I second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson to amend 2022-19 and seconded by Councilman Tungle. Can you restate your amendments for everyone again? I guess there's a question what it is.
So this is a recommendation just from staff edits on it, and it was included in the memo. The motion was included in the memo if we're explaining this motion. And it's, like I said, it's just for some edits by the staff.
Yeah, I just want to make clear that those weren't something you just brought up. So thanks. Bill?
They're in there. He had me running in to see where he got that, and I guess that refreshed my memory, so thank you for that. It's in the motion, proposed motions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on the agenda, on the amendment? No comments or on the amendments? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'm going to vote against the amendment. I don't agree with the whole two-tier bonus schedule or longevity schedule that's on here to begin with. And so I can't necessarily support changes to it. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to question on it.
Any further comment on the amendment? Councilman Coleman?
This just looks like a housekeeping. So, I mean, just moving forward, I will support this.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll call for a roll call on the amendment. What's that?
We were just trying to make sure we had the first and the second for the motion, correct?
Councilman Tungo was second.
Okay. Roll call vote on the amendment. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 4 yes and 1 no, the amendment passes. Now I'm back to the main motion, 2022-19 as amended. Any further discussion? Councilman Robinson?
Yes, I support staff's recommendation in passing this, and the Title III employees deserve it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No hearing, no further. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, as I've stated many times before, I don't agree with the two-tier bonus system or longevity bonus here. And I would introduce a motion to delete Section A of this ordinance and reword Section B to remove non-executive.
I'll give him a second on that.
Been moved by Councilman Bell, second by Councilman Luby on the second amendment to delete Section A. Is that the whole thing?
Yes.
And second discussion. Councilman Robinson.
Again, I support staff's recommendation in this, and I don't support an amendment to it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Any further comment, Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I'd like to hear more from Councilman Bell here on his reasons for wanting to change it.
I don't see the need for a two-tier longevity bonus here. Everyone that works for the city of Unalaska is an employee of the city of Unalaska. And I don't see any justification for having a larger bonus for one other group that falls within this same Title III group. And please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't necessarily agree that staff agrees with a two-tier longevity bonus. Thank you.
Any further comment? Okay. Hearing no further comment on the second amendment to 2022-19 to remove Section A. Roll call, please.
Ms. Luby?
No.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Mr. Tungle?
No.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 1 yes and 4 nays, amendment fails. Any further comments or changes to Ordinance 2022-19? Councilman Coleman?
It's more of a question, I guess, for staff. Since this was for the fiscal year and is so late in us approving, is this any of these changes going to be retroactive to July 1st.
It's my understanding that they will be retroactive July 1st. However, that paycheck won't happen. It'll come in on their calendar 2023 income.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further comment? Hearing none, I'll ask for a roll call vote on Ordinance 2022-19 as amended.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yes, 0 nays, Ordinance 2022-19 has passed this council. Our next item is Ordinance 2022-20, second reading, creating a budget amendment number 3 to fiscal year 2023 budget to fund increases in wages, fringe benefits, and associated State of Alaska PERS contributions for unrepresentative employees. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2022-20?
Move to adopt Resolution 2022-20.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the City Manager to introduce.
Certainly, and thank you. This being, I think, believe the second time we've gone through this, but again, it's one of these complicated things where we're trying to show what the impact to the operating budgets will be and our funds should this pass, Ordinance 2022-20 for fiscal year 2023, increase in wages, fringe benefits, and other State of Alaska PERS contributions for the actions you're taking so that we can actually pay for them, and that's the purpose of this ordinance.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Any comments, questions? Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, just to note that the budget amendment doesn't include the total amount that we're passing tonight, and we may in the future have to bring forward another budget amendment to this. Staff didn't have the time to get that incorporated into the budget amendment. So, but there is enough money now to cover what needs to be covered. And in the event, like I said, we need more, we'll come back with another budget amendment.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Any further comments from the council? Questions from Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I understanding this is a stopgap measure until we get a compensation study done. What I have had a chance to review since we've had all this time is the fact that that any increases are at the discretion of the city manager. This ordinance doesn't actually provide a dollar amount or a percentage for wage increases. And I trust that, you know, all factors will be taken into consideration when or if those increases happen. I would like to make a motion here to amend, though, and I'd add, and it could go under number or letter B at the beginning of the ordinance, and to read, increases in wages or benefits as a result of this ordinance shall be paid retroactive to July 1st, 2022.
A motion to amend by Councilman Bell to amend Section B of Ordinance 2022-20 to include retroactive to July 1st, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell and seconded by Councilman Coleman. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, just nowhere in this ordinance does it set any kind of date on when wages, any increase in wages would be paid from, whereas the previous ordinance did address that. So this simply addresses retroactive pay.
Councilman Robinson and Coleman.
Yes, in the discussion on the memo, it says that the cost of $589,406 fully implements a 10% wage increase in longevity bonus for unrepresented employees for 2023. The longevity bonus is covered in the Title III ordinance change 2022-19. These changes are effective July 1, 2022. So I think it's redundant. I'm going to support the ordinance as presented.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. I did read that also. Councilman Coleman?
Oh, I didn't have a question. Where did you find, where was that, Mr. Robinson?
It's on page 44 of 217.
It's in the discussion and not necessarily in our the actual ordinance. So that being said, the discussion is not necessarily part of the ordinance. I would support the amendment.
Any further comment on the amendment? Councilman Tungo?
I kind of do agree. I think I'll support the amendment.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Any further comment? Councilman Luby?
I'll support it as well.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we're on the amendment by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilwoman Coleman, to introduce a retroactive to July 1st increase. Increases wages and benefits as a result of this ordinance shall be paid retroactively to July 1st, 2022. More in writing. Thanks. Any further comments? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call on the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of five yes and zero nays, the amendment has been approved to Ordinance 2022-20. Any further comment on Ordinance 2022-20? Hearing none. Let's see. Has anyone signed up to provide public comment? City Clerk?
No, sir.
Thank you. This motion is to adopt Ordinance 2022-19 as amended. Pardon?
It's Ordinance 2020.
So I say 20. Sorry. Ordinance 2022-20. All right. Request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. And a roll call vote of five yes and zero nays. Ordinance 2022-20, as amended, has been approved. Our next item is item D, resolution 2022-55, authorizing the city manager to enter into agreement with Regan Engineering, PC, for the design of the Captain's Bay Road Waterline Extension Project in the amount of $398,646. May I have a motion and second to adopt resolution 2022-55.
I move to approve resolution 2022-55 and award the design of the Captain's Bay Road Waterline Extension Project to Reagan Engineering PC, the city's longtime designer, for record.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Robinson to adopt Resolution 2022-55. I'll turn this over to the city manager at this time.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Briefly, this contract is fully covered by a grant that we received from the Denali Commission, and that grant came in with the help and the support and efforts from the folks down in Public Works that submitted that grant. I'd like to commend them for that work. Basically, as you know, we did present the Captain's Bay Road, the draft plan, so we could try and consolidate all the work that we've been doing on that project as a city and start looking at sources and uses in a holistic way. This grant came in the process of that. We've been aware that we won that grant and have been watching how to allocate these resources and believe this is the best way to go forward at this time with this money.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Any comments or questions from the council? Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, I kind of fully agree, even though we did not put this on RAP. Reagan Engineering, they work on that road for years, and pretty familiar on what's going on every inch of that road. I worked with them for the last 2 years. On some parts of Captain's Bay in there, it's got a lot of information already in there that he'll be using. So I think it'll be a pretty quick design that he's going to be doing for us in there. And I'm confident he'll be doing a great job. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungle. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. However, I am not usually in support of a sole source, but in this case, I think we will be saving money by not putting us out to bid and using up critical staff time. So I support this. I trust the work that Reagan Engineering does.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Robinson? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I'm curious. It looks like the grant is going to replace the ARPA. There's a big difference in dollar amount there, but what's going to happen to the ARPA grant?
I'm going to defer that question to Mr. Tompkins.
Yeah, Councilmember Luby, Mr. Mayor, the ARPA money is just sitting there intact. We haven't really decided strategically, you know, what the next step is. Design is the first part. It's probably going to go for construction materials, some of the long-range construction materials. But so we have it. We don't decide how to use it.
Okay, so it's just going to sit there, and it'll be part of a CMMP later, or how will that come about? It'll just go back. And just sit there until
it's sitting in the project. It's been allocated to the project, so it's funded to the project.
And it'll stay funded to the project?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll see that, if I can add, when we're doing the CMMP updates, that's money that's in the grants column then. So when you see the total sources and uses, it'll be there, along with what's already been appropriated and spent.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further comments, questions on Resolution 2022-55? Hearing none. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. Authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Reagan Engineering PC for the design of Captain's Bay Road Waterline Extension Project in the amount of $398,646. I'll request a roll call vote.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of five yeses and zero nays, the resolution 2022-55 has been adopted. Next item. Item 15 is council directives to the city manager. If there are any directives, they need to be in a motion form. Seeing none. Okay, move on to community input and announcements. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements at this time. Special announcements, birthdays, city clerk.
Business licenses expire at the end of the year, so if businesses haven't renewed yet, please do so before December 31st.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. I guess there's no other announcements. I want to thank everyone and wish everyone a happy new year. We'll, depending on weather, whether we'll have fireworks this year.
Russian Christmas.
I have no idea. That's Bill, he's going to want to probably light the fire. I don't know. Usually 11.
From what I understand, it'll be on the 7th at 8 o'clock p.m., 8 p.m., so younger kids and stuff will be able to stay up for that.
Oh, 7 p.m.?
8 p.m. Right, 8 p.m. on the 7th.
It's going to be in our normal location. Right.
Okay, well, we hadn't talked about it. So.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, good thing. All right. Well, it'll be on the 7th at 7 p.m.
8 p.m.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
Now we're moving it up. I'll be asleep. Well, I want to thank everyone. And at this time, being no further business for City Council, and we've completed our agenda item, we are adjourned at 7:30 p.m. Good evening.
Good evening, Alaska.